Hello and welcome to episode 25 of Celiac.com Podcast Edition. In this episode, we talk about autoimmune disease, the serological test, a revolutionary drug that should make dining a breeze, celiacs both young and old, obesity and malnutrition, nervous disorder, chicken soup, and the difference between broth and stock. Celiac.com Podcast Edition is your regular update on news and important topics from our website. Please leave a comment on our blog or write to the podcast edition directly. Our email address is podcast@celiac.com. Celiac.com Podcast Edition is sponsored by the Gluten-Free Mall. Since 1998, the Gluten-Free Mall has provided safe and convenient online shopping for people on restricted diets due to celiac disease, autism, ADHD, or other health reasons. The Gluten-Free Mall has the best prices and selection of gluten-free, wheat-free, casein-free, and other allergy-related health foods and special dietary products that you can find on the internet. Here's a special offer for our podcast listeners. If you shop at the Gluten-Free Mall between now and August 31st, 2010, use the word podcast in all small letters and get a 10% discount. Here's how you do it. When you're ready to check out from the Gluten-Free Mall, you'll see a coupon code box next to your total. To get your 10% off, make sure you write the word podcast in all small letters. This does not count for shipping or taxes, limit one per customer, and offer not valid with other specials or promotions. Now, the news. Autoimmune disease. The susceptibility to various autoimmune diseases can run in families as well as individuals. It turns out that different autoimmune disorders often coexist in individuals and are found to cluster in families. A recent study is one of the largest so far to measure the risk of coexisting autoimmune diseases in over 3,000 cases. For test subjects already diagnosed with one autoimmune disease, the researchers found a substantially higher risk for other autoimmune-related illness. For celiacs, these results emphasize the importance of testing yourself or your family for other autoimmune disease. The serological test. Biopsy is the universal gold standard for celiac diagnosis. However, in recent years, the serological test has emerged as a staunch competitor, promising accurate results and easier testing. All you need is a blood sample. Doctors test for specific antibodies, indicating that the body is fighting infection caused by the celiac disease. The question is, which antibody is the right one to search for? A new serological test, called the DGP, is now being investigated as a more reliable alternative to the original. And the results of these tests clearly demonstrate that the DGP antibodies present an invaluable tool in screening for celiac disease. The goal is to reduce the number of tests currently used in celiac diagnosis. However, intestinal biopsy is always required to confirm the presence of celiac disease, no matter which serological tests are involved. A revolutionary drug. Eating a microscopic amount of gluten for many gluten sufferers frequently leads to diarrhea, vomiting, rashes, and insomnia. And some people can't even eat at restaurants due to the chance of cross-contamination. Well, a new drug called lirazotide acetate has been called revolutionary due to its capacity to greatly reduce the negative reactions from gluten. Celiacs on a gluten-free diet who take this drug in most cases can handle unexpected gluten ingestions without characteristic adverse reaction. Celiacs young and old. It is well known that celiac disease can affect individuals of all ages, but few studies focus solely on elderly people. To get a better understanding of how celiac disease affects older people, a research team recently set out to compare aspects of celiac disease in the elderly with a population of young adults. The team was surprised to find that both clinically and histologically, celiac disease seems to affect the body in similar ways, whether old or young. And now some popular topics from celiac.com. Obesity and malnutrition. One would think that all diagnosed celiacs are thin and malnourished, but recent studies have determined that obesity may also be prominent in celiac patients. These new studies were conducted to determine body mass changes after initiation of a gluten-free diet. The study found that there are obvious predictors for a low body mass index. Patients classified as classical, that means celiac, female, and with severe villus atrophy, all had signs determined as typical predictors for low BMI. Celiac females with normal or low BMI were also found to have higher rates of critical villus atrophy than those with a higher BMI. However, celiac males were typically found to be overweight compared with the general population. While on a gluten-free diet, over 50% of the overweight and obese patients lost weight. And of the group who initially had a low BMI, 42.4% attained a normal weight. Nervous disorder. Recent evidence suggests that celiac disease also affects the nervous system. Many neurological disorders are now being directly associated with gluten intolerance. The most common associations are cerebellar ataxia and peripheral neuropathy. Ataxia refers to a dysfunction in the motor regions of the brain, such as the cerebellum. A cerebellum is that part of the brain that sits at the top of the spinal column. Peripheral neuropathy is damage to the peripheral nervous system, which can be a side effect of a larger systemic illness. Symptoms of this kind of nerve damage are muscle spasms, dizziness, lightheadedness, loss of balance, nerve pain, numbness, or tingling. According to a recent study, for newly diagnosed patients with cerebellar ataxia or peripheral neuropathy, a gluten-free diet eased their symptoms. In patients that had neurological symptoms lasting longer than 12 months, a gluten-free diet was not as effective, indicating that the damage may be permanent. The following article comes from the Journal of Gluten Sensitivity, Winter 2010. Chicken soup and the difference between broth and stock. Can chicken soup cure a cold? A scientist evaluated his wife's homemade chicken soup and was surprised to find that the broth, when added to white blood cells, slows the neutrophils. In other words, it can clear a stuffy nose by decreasing inflammation in nasal passages. The amino acid in chicken is similar to the drug doctors prescribe for patients with bronchitis, and the acids in chicken broth can also thin the mucus in the lungs. So chicken soup actually does have medicinal benefits. A good soup starts with a good broth, or a stock. Broth is usually made with pieces of meat. Stock, on the other hand, is made by boiling bones with just a little meat left on them, so it's not as rich as broth. Consommé is also a stock, but the bones are roasted first, then simmered, and then reduced. Always remember to use cold water when you start. Add the meat, then bring the water quickly to a boil. Once it starts to boil, immediately lower the heat and keep the water at a low simmer. This will keep your soup from becoming cloudy. And don't add spices at this point. Add the spices once the soup is almost done. The vegetables and legumes that can be added to soup are almost endless. If you can chop it, you can add it. There are the usual vegetables like potatoes, corn, peas, and beans of all sizes and shapes. But don't overlook chopped spinach or endive, asparagus, cabbage, turnips, sweet potatoes, Brussels sprouts, or zucchini. For variety, sometimes add white rice, wild rice, gluten-free pasta, or how about some homemade gluten-free dumplings? And that's all for this episode of Celiac.com Podcast Edition. Remember to look at our website for full articles on everything you heard in this podcast from Celiac.com. Thank you for listening.